From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
It is a big Red Rock Friday, folks. Not anything that we can take away from how important this football game is as the Indianapolis Colts come into Arrowhead Stadium this weekend for the divisional playoff that we've all been waiting for quite a while. We have Chris from Chiefs Digest and Locked On Chiefs with us, me from RGR on YouTube. Seth's, you know, doing Seth things, but how are you, man? You feeling good or trepidatious?
I don't know. The trepidatious is really the right word. I feel good about it. I do think that this is a good matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs. And honestly, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think that they're playing with dealer money right now. So anything they do at this point is just gravy in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm very excited for what's going to go on. Yes, this is a hot team. Yes, I mean, kind of astounding to me how many people are picking these Colts to come in here to Arrowhead and upset this team that has run away from this league in terms of scoring. But I feel like there are some very good matchups for this particular team. And I where do you want to start?
Well, what I want to start with real quick is there's been reports out there that Patrick Mahomes is a one read and done type quarterback. And I'm sorry, if you're a football analyst and you really believe that, you need to probably retire.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't know who that was, but I don't think I want to know.
Oh, Charlie Casserly is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, that's well. Welcome out of the league there, Charlie.
I don't get it. I mean, I've watched Mahomes go through multiple reads in multiple different games. I don't get how somebody that supposedly knows football like Casserly does, and he used to at least know football, comes up with that opinion and people are talking about it. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I think it's way off base.
Oh, to say the least. I mean, all evidence to the contrary. And I think what you're going to see, maybe he's just thinking of the no look passes. I don't know. what you're going
to
see.
No, he had examples against the Seahawks.
Oh, really?
He had video examples against the Seahawks where Mahomes only looked at one player and then was sacked or got chased out of the pocket, which if we're being honest about the Seahawks game, he was probably under pressure under more pressure than he's been in most games. And a lot of that was a very bad play by the offensive tackles and some of the interior of the line. So it's makes a lot of sense when you only have, 2 seconds to look at the field, you're only going to get to one read.
Yeah, and I'll give him, there are times when Patrick has something he wants to do to a specific guy, and if not, he bails the pocket and sees what he can create, and that does happen, but I think that's by design rather than that's all he can do. So that's just kind of ridiculous. We'll spend no more time on that. That's dumb. But what we should spend some time on is what's going on with Eric Berry and Dorian O'Daniel, neither of whom practiced on Thursday, which should be their final walkthrough, basically. At least exertion wise, for this upcoming game.
Yeah. And so I would imagine that they're going to be without both those players. And that really stinks for Kansas City because they could really use a guy like Eric Berry, especially in the middle of the field and especially against Eric Ebron. But, they haven't had him all year and the guys that are behind him should be ready to go. And, Jordan Lucas hasn't even been on the injury report, I don't believe. So he should be good to go. You had Derek Nnadi who got a concussion. He looks to be ready to go as well. And we'll have to wait and see on Sammy Watkins. From what I saw from Matt Derrick, Sammy Watkins had a big bandage on his foot. And maybe that's just the way that they're trying to be cautious with it. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. And you have a good point. I kind of feel a little bit differently about Berry, and I feel like he and Watkins are going to be, no matter what happens, unless there's been some re-injury that we don't know about, I feel like both of them are at least going to attempt to play. Maybe Berry can't go. Maybe Watkins can't go, but I feel like they both need to make that attempt. It sounds like a contusion to the calf for Dorian O'Daniel. I expect him to play. That's not something that should keep you from a playoff game. And I have a feeling like the intensity of Eric Berry, as well as Sammy Watkins trying to justify his contract and coming here and the season that he's had and all that, I feel like everybody's got to give it a go, and I think that they probably will.
Well, we will find out on Saturday, and I will, like I said, like we've said, I will be there looking forward to that. Reach out on Twitter if you guys want to come say hi during the game or before the game or after the game. I'm sure I'll probably be meeting a couple of people up there. Looking forward to being at the game. And honestly, one of the things I'm looking forward to, and Ryan, I don't know if you really spent any time doing this, but I'm looking forward to getting into the stadium early because I want to watch Patrick Mahomes warm up. I want to watch the warm up that he goes through and the different things that he does, because I don't know if you saw the story that was on the Ringer, but it's very interesting to sit there and read about how he goes through things and how he warms up with all the sidearm motion and all the different levels of types of throws.
Yeah, I think that will be interesting to see. And I did not do that Raiders game just because we had a lot going on in the tailgating section of the stadium, to put it the least. It was the holidays. So I wasn't there in a professional capacity so much as an actual fan. So yeah, had a few things to drink. But I'll be interested to see what you think of his warm-up, because I've heard the same thing in that it just makes sense. If you're going to use that in a game setting, you need to be loose. You need to be able to execute it. And I think that just goes to preparation and being able to understand your own game that you're going to throw from whatever platform you happen to get into.
Yep. And I think it's good that they don't really hinder what he wants to try to do and in the way he does things, because I think it's really worked in his favor this season.
I agree. And I think as long as it's not actively precipitating when they're on the field, I feel like his game is not going to be diminished. I don't worry about the cold at all with Patrick Mahomes. Because of what I saw in Denver to close out 2017, I know he can play in single digits. It's about the grip on the ball. And like I said, unless it's actively wet or snowing or whatever, I think it's going to be just fine.
Yeah, no, I think he should be good. It's just a question of whether or not he's able to come out and be under control at the very beginning of the game. Considering this is his first real big playoff game, it's going to be something to watch.
Agreed. And I think he does have to get off on a good start. I looked at the film some, and if you haven't seen the game plan video on RGR, folks, check that out on YouTube. It's in the show notes. And one of the things that I noticed is that Malik Hooker, one of the deep safeties, and they do play predominantly cover two with split safeties, but he can be manipulated with a quarterback's eyes. He does take glances into the backfield. I think it's something that Pat Mahomes in particular can use to his advantage, hopefully in that first quarter, because like you said, they need to get off to a good start. But there are gaps in that Indianapolis defense.
Yeah, there's definitely gaps. It's a question of whether or not they're going to be able to find them. And I do think that Mahomes and Reed have had enough time to really study some of these opponents. The nice thing about a couple of the other opponents that they possibly could have been playing in the Ravens and the Chargers, at that point, you're talking about teams that they've already played this season. Teams that they already knew about. So in all reality, you're probably thinking you're going to be spending time preparing for the Colts just because you've already kind of seen what Baltimore and the Chargers have done. So you would be ready if those were your matchups.
Agreed. And I feel like offensively, it'll all flow from Holmes. We all know that whatever I have to say, the Andy Reid's not going to run the ball first, and he's not going to come out there in the I formation. So get them into a rhythm. I think particularly the screen game is something that they need to look at early. I do want to see them hit those edges, though, because I think the Colts front, I think, wants to be aggressive. I think they want to get after him and try to kind of pinch him a little bit. So I'm looking for some delayed handoffs, definitely some screens. And I want to see Damian Williams get going on some of those outside breaking runs fairly early.
Yeah, definitely something that they need to take advantage of, and get the ball in their playmakers' hands. And I do think that that's going to be something they're going to do. We do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to start getting into actual matchups in this game that, both the Chiefs and maybe even the Colts could take advantage of.
And if you're new to the show, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you get a podcast. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play Locked On Chiefs.
The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get into the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games this year. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is right around the corner. It is really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. We trust them, but you don't have to take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid. All right, Ryan, I know you want to talk about it. Let's go ahead and get it over with. Let's talk about the defense.
Well, you have to. I mean, not only is Captain Andrew Luck in a position to be back fully healthy, as we talked to Jake Arthur earlier in the week, folks, that was the Wednesday show. Make sure you check that out if you didn't hear it. That Jake's really seen him at full capacity. So Andrew Luck has his whole arsenal of tools in terms of his arm. You add that with the fact that the line has been blocking their tails off. He's the least sacked quarterback in the league. And they've been able to run really well the last month, particularly last week against the Texans and J.J. Watt of all teams. It's a formidable thing that they can hit you either way. And I think really, if it's me, I hearken back to Marty and Gunther and trying to take away that run first, especially seeing what they did against the Texans last week. And I'd come out in the base defense. And I want to see them attack those gaps, make sure that they're filled. There's going to be wham blocks. There's going to be all kinds of things. But I think the defense itself, Reggie Ragland and Alan Bailey in particular, if they can get off to a good game, get a couple of stops early, I feel like it sets the defense up to be more stout down the stretch.
Well, it certainly should. The biggest question is, can they do that against this Colts offensive line? And I do know that, you know, there's a lot of stats out there that shows that the Colts haven't played against a team that's had a good offensive, the Colts haven't played against a team that has been so good at getting after the passer. And while I do think that stopping the run is going to be important in this game, also changing what Luck wants to do and how he wants to do it is also going to be important. And that starts up front, and that starts with the guys like Chris Jones and Alan Bailey, like you mentioned, and Derek Nnadi and Xavier Williams. If those guys can at least push the pocket and get people in Luck's face, it completely changes the game plan for what Indianapolis is going to want to do and how they're going to try to do it.
Right. And I mean, and Andrew Luck's a pretty good athlete. He's not Pat Mahomes. He's not Deshaun Watson. So I feel like once again, whether it's Nnadi or Williams or even Chris Jones or even Reggie Ragland, attacking through those A gaps on passing downs is something that can pay off very well early for this team.
Yep. And if they can get pressure in the A gaps early, then that means that they have to put more emphasis on blocking those guys up front. But that's going to be very hard considering that they're going to be going against an all pro and Quentin Nelson at left guard. So we'll have to see how that works out. But if they can get pressure in the A gaps and get pressure on the interior early, it's really going to help Dee Ford and Justin Houston pin their ears back and get after the quarterback on passing downs.
Agree. Man, I got to tell you, I am looking forward to this Nelson Chris Jones matchup because I feel like Jones is at a disadvantage in the run game, but I feel like he's an advantage in the pass game. His quickness and his inside power, I think, is something that Nelson's going to have some trouble with. And as good as he is, man, I see these guys just like slugging it out back and forth all game.
I agree with you on that, but I also do think that we'll see Jones on the field a little bit more than we've ever seen him, I think. I think Nelson's going to get the better of him in several plays. And don't get me wrong, I think Chris Jones will get the better of Nelson at times. But you're going to see Chris Jones on the field, and you haven't generally seen Chris Jones on the field because he doesn't get overpowered. And I think with Nelson specifically, he has so much power. It allows him to do things that most players can't do. And I do think that's a big thing. And if Chris Jones gets off in technique just a little bit, he's going to pay for it at times.
Yeah, that's true. Nelson will take advantage of you if you are not sound. If Chris gets tired and he starts letting his pads rise and plays high, that's going to be bad news. But I would take it a step farther and kind of take Nelson out of it. If you're going to really try to be creative with the fronts that you show, I would go back to that old thing the Bears used to do in the 80s, where they would leave one lineman uncovered and cover everybody else. Just leave Nelson there with nobody to touch, but maybe a stand-up linebacker who you can end up dropping out. Take that part out of the equation as far as I'm concerned. I'd really like to see Sutton be the wild, crazy Sutton this week.
I think you're asking for quite a lot, but there's always hoping.
Can't get it if you don't ask for it.
That's true, but I still think you're asking for way too much from a guy that just hasn't seemed to be somebody that's going to change his ways very often this season.
Fair enough.
Unless he's forced to.
Well, and he may be, because I think if you allow Marlon Mack in the running game to get going, that takes away some of your options. I think he's content, Bob Sutton is, to allow some yardage. But again, you can talk to Seth and his newfangled man bun stuff that we talked about yesterday. If you don't let Pat have the ball, he can't do anything. And if they hold it too long, especially in that first half, I mean, if it's a 4-point ball game at half, this is something that makes the Chiefs have to come out and be uber aggressive and hope that they're able to get back on track. I'm a little bit concerned about that. I know you probably are down the middle and Sessa obviously the opposite side, but when you look at the passing game, if they do have to come out, then they have to push the ball downfield. If both teams are fighting it out, let's start with the Colts. Who's the matchup in the Colts passing game that you're most concerned about?
Well, I think you have to be most concerned with T.Y. Hilton, mainly because of his speed and because he can just beat you over the top. And Kansas City hasn't shown that they've been susceptible to, maybe over the top plays near as much, but they are allowing big chunk plays. But T.Y. Hilton can beat you quickly and he can beat you, very bad at times. So I think he's one of their biggest concerns. Although, you know, the other side of it is Chiefs generally haven't been good against tight ends and Ebron is having a fantastic season. So, it's really pick your poison with those two guys and they're going to have something up their sleeve to try to figure out how to get, stops on at least one of those guys, if not both, to have a good opportunity to win this game on a defensive basis.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ebron was where I was going to start too, especially if Eric Berry isn't able to go. You're talking about Parker Sorensen probably. I think Lucas and Murray will rotate in, but there's no clear guy who can cover a tight end that, like you said, is having a career year, but he's also got size and athleticism. I think that's a tough matchup for anybody on this roster but Eric Berry. So that's where I would start with my concern. And then I will mention one other guy in Inman, formerly of the Chargers, that knows this team well, and he has had an uncanny knack for making some big plays against the Chiefs defense. So I want to see how they treat him. And once again, I think all these receivers, the more physical you are at the line of scrimmage with them, the better off you are.
I agree with that. It does sound like Ryan Grant is out for Sunday. And our buddy Jake Arthur was pretty right on. You had all those do not practices on Tuesday. And then you had only 5 guys that did not practice on Wednesday from that same list. And so you have a couple of injuries to be curious about. Tyquan Lewis is the only one that's doubtful and Ryan Grant's out. So and then they've got 2 guys that are questionable. So I think the Colts are a lot healthier than that injury report let on.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you this, I'll take it one step farther. Not only do I want to see the Chiefs be physical, but I feel like they have to, because I talked about some of the play action that they use off of that Mac running game in the RGR game plan this week. And it is play action, but it's all quick play action. It's a lot out of the shotgun. And it's just enough of a distraction to try to keep people honest, but it's not the old, 5-step drop with the arm extended kind of play action. And here's why, because the Colts use their quick passing game to get the ball out and keep themselves on track and not let that pass rush get home. And I feel like, again, this is something where the DBs, the more physical they are at the line of scrimmage, the more they disrupt what the Colts want to do.
It's something that they've got to get their hands on them and they've got to take care of that. And they've got to take care of business with those, wide receivers, because if they don't, they're going to pay for it. And you're right. If they can stop Mac, it goes a long way to slowing this Colts offense down. And it actually really helps them as well, because it's going to get the ball back to the Chiefs offense. And we all know that they're scoring at a very high rate this season.
Yeah. Let's take our second break. We'll come back and we'll talk about just one or two more I'd like to touch on, and then we'll do predictions.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So one of the highlights of all these pre-game packages that you're seeing from all the national talking heads is just how great this Colts offensive line is, right?
Yep.
And I get that. And especially the right tackle, they're very impressed with him. He's an athletic kid, and that's great. He did a good job against J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt is not the explosive edge rusher that Dee Ford is. And I feel despite what he's been able to do this season, I feel like Dee Ford has an advantage over that guy that's going to play into this ball game in particular, because I think Dee, of all people, with the quick passing game, is the one rusher right now that has the advantage on the outside to get to Luck quickly. And I feel like he's in for what could be a very big game. I expect him to play well, and I expect him to be a bigger portion of the defense than we've seen in maybe the last month.
Well, we certainly hope so, because if that's something that happens, I think that it would be very good for Kansas City if they can get after Luck. You know, the question with Dee Ford is not necessarily the pass rush. It's whether or not he's able to stop the run, and I think he's been better in that this season, so I think that could help as well.
Yeah. And they want to hit the edges. They hit them hard against the Texans.
Yep. So a lot of questions when it comes to how they're going to stop the Colts offense. But really, we haven't even talked about the fun part of this game. Because honestly, I do think the Colts defense is good. But zone defense against Patrick Mahomes is not something you really want to be playing much of.
If you only had a choice, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so I agree with you. And I think there's going to be big holes.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, honestly, the question is, and this is something, that Dan Orlovsky pointed out, and I think he did a fantastic job of it. The Colts show man at times and come back and play zone. The question is can Mahomes figure that out quick enough? Is there any other keys that he can figure out and look at the defense and say, okay, this is really a zone. They're trying to show me that it's man, but it's a zone, because it completely changes where he's going to go with the ball and what he's looking at and what he's wanting to do. If they confuse him early, and they can continue confusing him, it's not going to be a pretty game for the Chiefs offense. I really have a hard time believing that they're going to keep him confused for the entire game, but this Chiefs offense really needs to start hot against this Colts defense. And they need to take it to him, and they need to get up early.
I agree. I think Travis Kelce is in a position to be one that can exploit the cover two, especially, but zone defenses in general. And the only thing that I need to caution everybody about is he's going to be in a position to receive passes over the middle. And if they do get Patrick where he doesn't recognize something, this is the kind of thing that we saw him throw interceptions early in the season to linebackers kind of hiding in the middle everywhere that he didn't see.
Yep. Yeah, the interception against the Patriots is a great example of that. So, I mean, that's a big key. And, you know, the other side of it, and I know this is something that you're really going to enjoy, if they could get the running game going, it would go a long ways as well. You know, if you get it to where they are dropping eight because they can't stop your passing attack, that's going to open up the running game. Or if they're dropping even seven, that should open up the running game. And with the way Reed likes to, build his offense and use motions, I, you know, who knows where the running back's going to line up originally, but he could end up back in the backfield, or it could be Tyreek Hill. We haven't really seen many jet sweeps this year, which is surprising.
Right. Especially with some of those really great ones, those little flips early in the season. I'm actually looking for that to be a component of this game plan. Especially, I liked what they did against the Raiders, where they had a split backfield with Sharkhandrick and Sherman, and then split them out so they both lined up as H's. And that's actually the pass that Sherman made on the first drive that got them and kept them in that game. I'd like to see them do that with Damian as well, because you can shift back out of it if you decide you have a better fit against the run. It gives you that diversity out of one formation I think can really pay off against this particular team.
Well, and I'm not going to be surprised if Reed doesn't have a couple of new wrinkles up his sleeve that he's been working on for the past 2 weeks. One thing that Kansas City really has going for it is, generally speaking, Andy Reid is fantastic coming off a bye week. So we will see if that continues to be the case.
I agree. Look for Tyreek Hill to be the guy that stretches the field, and I think he does have a couple of explosive plays. We'll see just how much they try to bracket him and how they go about it, but he's going to be a field stretcher. So,
well, I really think that it's the X factor in this game, and people can call me crazy all they want. The X factor on offense is Sammy Watkins. If Sammy Watkins is able to play and he's able to be healthy, I don't think the Colts stand a chance in this game.
Yeah, I agree.
He just changes the Chiefs' offense that much, and they're already good without him.
Agreed. And in the end, it turns into a back and forth. The Chiefs will win every time, in my opinion, if it's offense versus offense.
Yep.
So that said, you want to go first?
I'll go right ahead. I'll let you go first. I know how much you enjoy it, so.
I'm going to take an unpopular opinion because the more I look at this, it comes down to me about, like you said, can you keep up with Patrick? And I feel like as much as people have tried to ride him a little bit about his primetime performances this season, I feel like the extra week, understanding what the significance is, I feel like he's ready to step into that role and really have one of his better games of the season. So I'm not buying
Wait a second. You're saying a better game of the season? So 6 touchdowns and 400 yards?
I think it could be. I am looking.
Okay.
I'm looking for the Chiefs to score 35 plus points. And I think that the Chiefs defense is going to be good enough to keep them under 28. So I'm going to call it 35-27
Chiefs. 35-27
Chiefs.
You know, honestly, I look at this game and the big question mark to me isn't necessarily Patrick Mahomes, because I think Mahomes has shown enough this season that if you give him an opportunity at all, even if it's just a small sliver of an opportunity at all, he's going to usually make you pay for it. There's been times where he couldn't come back and he couldn't do things against specific teams. But you know, at the same time, the defense allows 40 points. It's really hard to put those losses on him. But the thing that I have to see this weekend, and the thing I really want to see on Saturday, is I want to see Andy Reid coach a complete game and not take his foot off the gas if Kansas City gets up early at any point, or at any point in this game, really. I don't care if you're up 21 points. You're still doing what you can to shove the ball down their throats and beat them into submission. And I do mean that literally. One thing that Reed has done in the past is he's taken his foot off the gas. And I'm not going to say that, you know, the big loss in Indianapolis was necessarily him taking his foot off the gas, because it was a mixture of injuries and just some crazy, stupid plays. I do think Kansas City wins this game, but I don't think it should really be that close. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Colts. I think they're a good team, but offensively, I think Kansas City is going to come out and I think they're going to be ready for this. The bigger question that I have to figure out that we still don't know, and it still hasn't been announced yet, is LDT hasn't been announced that he's coming back to the roster yet. If he comes back, that completely changes some of the stuff that you do on offense as well, because at that point, Wiley becomes your backup, and that's a great position to be in, and you have the ability to maybe go 6 linemen and run the ball a little bit more, which changes the end of the game.
Oh, easy to my ear.
Yeah, I knew it would be, but I do think it's valid. I, you know, Damian Williams isn't Kareem Hunt. He's not going to be able to do what Kareem Hunt did and do it as well. So, you know, you look at this game and there's a lot of questions when it comes to what Kansas City is going to be able to do and who they're going to be able to have. I still think they're the more talented team. I think it's going to pay off, and I fully expect we haven't even talked about the biggest thing in this. One of the biggest things in this game, I think this crowd is going to be insane on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you look at what they've been able to do so far this season, they've been crazy at different times, but this is the first playoff game in Kansas City where they've held a number one ranking and actually had the best quarterback on the field. And I can say that without question. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback that's going to be on the field this Saturday. I think Kansas City is going to win. I think it could be, you know, 38-24, 38-21. I do think the Colts score, but if Kansas City gets up early, they're going to have to abandon the running game, and that's really going to hurt them. And the Chiefs' passing defense is better than they get credit for at times. So I think that's going to also play a pivotal factor. And then you have Kendall Fuller, who I think is going to be healthier, and that's going to help them as well. And Ward now has some experience, and that'll help. So that's the way I see it shaking out. And again, I will be there on Saturday, so please hit me up on Twitter. Come see me. Come say hello. It's going to be a good game. Hopefully it's not a damp game like they're saying it will be right now, but we will see.
Folks, if you're having a tailgate, make sure you find Chris, because the man needs to eat. So I want you guys to have a safe and good time at this particular football game. We want to know what you think in terms of prediction. So hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. Bring that conversation. It's been great lately. We'll have more for you. It's going to be an interesting one for me. I won't be available right at kickoff. So we are going to circle back. We'll have a show for you on Sunday evening, probably, as well as the live thing on YouTube and all that. And then we'll be back at it come Monday to give you more information on this team and this game. Thank you for all of your time and all of your support. And we will talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.